Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Electric Leftovers. My name is Jason. This is episode 417, the first episode of 2024. Exciting stuff, isn't it? If you are listening to this episode, got a little special treat that you're missing out on or benefiting from. Either or, this is the first episode that we are recording out in the Groove Machine Dome proper. He says as he makes hand gestures to the room and the space around him, because if you are following, subscribing, supporting, whatever, buying a coffee-ing at buymeacoffee.com/electricleft, you're going to get a video version of said podcast. It's going to be a little shorter, a little different video-wise. We're not going to have quite the same format a little bit, because the way I'm doing the show out here, at least for the first few episodes, I've got a webcam, got a microphone, got a laptop in front of me. All the information that I'm going to be reading is on the laptop, because we don't have this quite set up yet. But I thought, it's a new year, we'll do something a little different, start it out, make it interesting. Hopefully it'll go that way. If you would like to check out said video version of the show, visit buymeacoffee.com/electricleft or jasonsgroovemachine.com and get yourself a link to everything from there. Let's see. First week of 2024. We have some new Final Fantasy Tactics. We're going to have some new Islets. Today we're going to read some reviews for Fist of the North Star, and we're going to look at FTL Faster Than Light. We're also going to get our first movie suggestion recommendation for the year, and our first Warren Zevon song of the year as well. Anything else that we need to talk about? No. Hope y'all had a really good New Year's Eve, and I hope your 2024, as I adjust the microphone, of your 2024 goes as well as can be expected. Or I think I said 3% better than your 2023. I stand by that. I think that's still the way to go. So, let's get into some FTL music. And when we return, we'll read the back of the box.
Thank you.
You manage the Kestrel and its crew as you explore the galaxy. Strategic real-time combat involves managing power between essential systems and choosing which enemy systems to target. Meanwhile, you control your crew to keep the ship functioning and fight off intruders. The combat is difficult, but being a roguelike-like game, frequent permadeath is at the core of the experience. While exploring the galaxy, you will encounter a variety of situations requiring decision-making that can result in many outcomes. Since all events are randomly generated, each playthrough will be significantly different. Thus, the back of the box for FTL Faster Than Light, a real-time strategy game developed and published by Subset Games for the PC, said in 2012. And I say back of the box, there's no real back of the box for this. This kind of, there was a bit of a moment in time where roguelikes were kind of getting a renaissance, if you were. This was one of them. Binding of Isaac was one. I'm sure there were others. I can't think of any of them because I don't play a lot of them. I know Hades was the big one. Excuse me. But Hades was sometime later. Sword of the Stars was one. I remember playing a heck of a lot of that at the time. And this one's really unique, and I really like this game. I think the graphics are really good. The music's excellent. Not much in terms of story. Doesn't leave a whole lot there to really delve into, which is fine. I mean, Binding of Isaac didn't have a whole lot of story either. Neither did Sword of the Stars, now to think about it. I really like it. It's not like a really intense game to me, because while it is real-time strategy, you can pause the game at any time, excuse me, direct your crew and your battle tactics and all this other stuff, and then unpause the game and just watch what happens, pause, adjust, so on and so forth. So it's not like a really tense, action-filled real-time strategy, nothing like a, when I say real-time strategy, StarCraft, Warcraft, those things come to mind before just about anything else. So it's not like that, but it's pretty good. If you're into this kind of thing, if you like space, sci-fi stuff, maybe you're tired of all these games with their fantasy settings or military settings. You want something different? FTL, absolutely would recommend giving it a shot.
Thank you.
It's different, ladies and gentlemen, doing this with a camera on. I can't see it because the screen's here and you're up here, so it looks like I'm looking down the whole time. I promise I'm not ignoring you. That's just, that's where things are set up right now, because as you know, we're far from complete out here. So anyway, it'll get better as this goes on. Thank you for your patience and your support. It's support of viewers like you that is going to help this project wrap up quicker. And motivation from me. Anyway, let's see. Fist of the North Star. We have so many reviews that this little tiny resolution laptop can show all of them on the screen. There's one detailed review. there's a bunch of quick reviews. We've got that one from a regular contributor. We've got this one from a regular contributor. And I think this one is just going to be a fun one, so we'll read it. Let's start with our friend Vegeta in 2000, who says, okay, so I'm the only person in the world that knows what to do in this game. Bold statement, Vegeta. Graphics 3, sound effects 2, music 1, originality 5, play control 3, group enjoyment 1, individual enjoyment 2, challenge 1, ending 1, overall 2. Spoil the review for us, Vegeta. Let's see. The immensely popular graphic manga / TV series / movie Fist of the North Star comes to the Nintendo in an extremely violent side-scroller from Toei. Does this game live up to the series, or does it deserve to get punched by Jaggi and Hart and explode? I think Jaggi knew how to do that. Good points. Well, it is based off Fist of the North Star. I guess that's a good point. Bad points. Gee, let me think. First of all, there's not challenge. You're supposed to die when you run out of life, not suddenly get another life bar. And then there's the extremely predictable mazes. Heck, all you have to do is follow the little girl from one room to the next. Excuse me. And you'll fight a boss. Wow, that was so hard. I'm going to go smash something with a maul. Another bad point I would like to mention, and even though this does not have anything to do with the game, it deserves mentioning. All of you who have reviewed this game before, I understand you panning the game so badly, but just how long did you play it before you decided to pan it? Did you actually bother to beat it? Did you even figure out how to get out of the first stage? You didn't, did you? I don't think Vegeta did the same Fist of the North Star game. I'm not trying to be condescending or anything, since figuring out how you travel from one place to another is pretty stupid, but you didn't really try at the game. You're the kind of people who would play, say, Super Mario Brothers for a while, but as soon as you got stuck in, say, Stage 4-1, you'd complain about how impossible the game got at that point and how the programmers were lazy. Vegeta, do you know Darkseid, though? General ratings. Excuse me. Graphics? Boring. This was after Super Mario Brothers, and it looked like pure gold compared to this. Come on, people. Even Hart didn't look that good. All you had to do was make a gigantic round blob of fat, but you ended up making a gigantic blob of fat with feet that are the same color as the floor and no face. Look at the size of that man's head. They could have at least put some eyes on him. See, this is why I'm thinking. I think he played a different game. Sound. Ick. That's the sound I make when I hear the sounds in this game. Whoever was in charge of licensing on the Fist of the North Star series should be shot, because the series has produced 2, maybe 3 good games. This is not one of them. Music? All I can say is at least there's some music. Then again, I've also heard that silence is a very powerful tool. Originality? Well, you have to admit it is pretty original. To some extent, at least. Play control? Not even this is any good. Jeez, folks, what's with you today? Enjoyment? None here. Even if you're a huge fan of the series, you're probably not going to like this game much. Challenge. There is no challenge. The only challenge is sticking around and beating the game. That's at test of patience, my friends. I believe it's meant to say that's a test of patience. Vegeta, it's fine. Ending, blah, 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 chicka-ba, chicka-blah-blah. I didn't know it was physically impossible, excuse me, but this ending simultaneously sucks and blows. Overall, don't play this game. If you see this game, buy it for about a nickel and hold on to it for the rest of your life. Maybe after about 100 years, this game will be worth 2 nickels. That's almost worth it, right? Oh, and for all of you who are wondering, in order to get past the first stage, you need to enter the buildings you see in the background. When you're in front of a door, hold up and press the A and B buttons at the same time. So this is why I think Vegeta didn't play the Fist of the North Star, the first one. Because that's not in the first stage. There's no doors you have to go through. He talks about a maze. There is a maze, but there's no little girl to follow. That is how you get in and out of doors, and it is pretty stupid. But there's not a... What he is describing is not what happens in Fist of the North Star. So, I don't know, man. It wasn't a bad review, Vegeta. I'm just confused. I think you might be too. Next, 2002, updated in 2003 from Walker Bow, says, "What, pray tell, is this? Intro. Fist of the North Star is based off some movie or other that I sincerely hope was better than the NES game that came after it. The story is basically generic NES stuff, save the world from the bad guy. More on that later. First off, we'll look at the gameplay. 1 out of 10. What the programmers were thinking while they were working on this is beyond me. All you do is fight your way through a few levels with way too many enemies and then follow this chick into a door to the boss, except that she doesn't always lead you there. Then you fight the boss. Unfortunately, your time limit isn't that much, which complicates matters. I don't remember there being a girl to follow at all in this game, and I played it 3 or 4 times. Control, 5 out of 10. Well, I guess it's average. The basic setup gets used quite a lot and it gets annoying after a while. Still, it seems to work well and it's nowhere near as irritating as what I'm going to talk about next. Audio, 1 out of 10. The music, if that's what you can call it, has got to be some of the worst I've ever heard. Well, at first it's not that bad, I'll admit. At first it's just kind of average. Unfortunately, the songs are about 5 seconds long and they loop over and over again, so they quickly become repetitive. The only reason I, kept my game around is because I'm trying to fight my way to the last boss so I can hear the sad ending theme. The game has 2 endings, one for if you get thrashed in the latter boss fights, and one when you can win. Well, okay. The sound effects are annoying, but also extremely, well, strange. There's a little sound for when you punch and kick, and when a punch connects, there's this weird blunga 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 vomit type sound for when the guy's head explodes. Then there's the really crappy whoop sound for when other attacks connects. Really, I'd have thought that the SFX would be better. Even Karate Kid, which has to be one of the most pointless games in existence, had somewhat better sound. The sound for when you die, or rather are defeated, you can't actually die, has got to be one of the lamest I've ever heard. Well, lame sound for a lame game. Story, 1 out of 10. Save your people from the evil Emperor Heaven. Will it have been better if the so-called Emperor Heaven had appeared in the game? And what the hell kind of a name is Heaven for a villain? He should have been called Emperor Hell or something. We'll get into that in a second. Overall, 1 out of 10. Unless you really feel you want to play this game, I advise staying away from it. If you want to try it, though, grab yourself a ROM so you can easily dispose of it when... if you find that it's not worth your time. Walker gave it a 1. So, Emperor Heaven, we talked about this, I think, a bit last time. It's a bad translation. It's not a very good translation. Rao, main bad guy of, like, season arc 1, was called Emperor Heaven. He was supposed to be the emperor that, Heaven picked to rule, right? That was his whole kind of thing. So he was Emperor Heaven. But then there were other, like, upstart emperors like Souser and all these, Shin. Shin was Shin? I don't remember. It's been a long time since I've seen it. Anyway. So you, Kenshiro, Ken, are kind of like on a journey to avenge... revenge against people who have done you wrong, and then you run into all, you know, all these other people who are just kind of being jerks, and then you have the big confrontation with Rao at the end of the first thing, and then that's where the first arc stops, and then there's the whole second game, or the second season, which is what this game is based on, which I think we talked about last time. So it's not even that we're really after Emperor Heaven so much in this game as it is just a poor translation of what we're actually doing, I guess. Our final review from Thundergroin. How could you not read a review from Thundergroin? In 2001 says, "Why does everyone fail to see the beauty of this game?" Fist of the North Star, the original Japanese one, not to be confused with the American release, certainly isn't a perfect game. In fact, it can be argued to be one of the worst games ever created. But if you can look past the trash talk and actually play the game, it can prove to be a worthwhile gaming experience. They begin with sights. I'll go ahead and say it. Fist of the North Star's backdrops look absolutely putrid. From beginning to end, they're an almost constant visual eyesore for you to look at. However, graphics do not necessarily make a good game, and one must keep this in mind. The character sprites certainly aren't perfect either, sporting only a few frames of animations for actions like punching, kicking, throwing, and being blown into bite-sized chunks. If you can only have fun in games with high-quality graphics, you'd best look elsewhere. You won't find them here. Sounds. Again, Toei could have improved this area quite significantly before they released the game. The constantly playing musical tracks are only slightly above the musical quality of 100 nails on a chalkboard. Ryu's karate cries and the sound of enemies' heads swelling after sustaining a nasty blow to the head are the only saving grace of the sound section. And while they may not save the game from the mute button punishment, they are a nice touch. Ryu this time. But he's Ken everywhere else. Controls. Your character's controls are rather simple, falling in line with the logical button choices for games of this genre. The up arrow key causes your character to jump. The A button generates a punch. B designates a kick. Doesn't actually kick, it just designates it. Can't get much more comfortable than that, says Thundergroin. Enjoyability. I like his sections. The story of Fist of the North Star follows that of the anime, movie, and manga of the same name. It follows the story of Ken, a powerful and nearly invincible martial artist, as he does battle with his super-powered enemies. In fighting these enemies, the hero Ken utilizes his ability of striking at an enemy's weak points, which causes a violent reaction within his enemy's body, eventually causing them to explode violently. This is utilized quite well in the game, minus the massive amounts of blood and guts present in the anime. The rule is no different for the bosses, who become a part of the gruesome display when they too fall to Ken's skill. It's not just head explosions, though, ladies and gentlemen. Sidebar here: having watched the series a few times, there are some poetic justice moments, like he pressure points some dude and then his like legs turn around and walk him off a cliff because he can't control them anymore. He makes these two guys hug to death. It's pretty interesting. The number one complaint that I have heard about this game is that it consists of nothing more than wandering aimlessly about and punching enemies to a bloody pulp. I found that these individuals all had one thing in common. None of them had ever seen or possibly never bothered to read the game's manual. Within its pages, it clearly states that one may proceed through the doors of each level by pressing the A, B, and up keys simultaneously in order to continue on to a new area. Yes, folks, it is possible to get somewhere in this game. You are not confined within an endless loop of glitchy buildings and endless waves of enemies. In fact, the game has 5 stages, each of which consists of battles with several varieties of attacking enemies, ranging from flying, jump-kicking enemies to large men who throw grenades. Oh, and another commonly heard complaint, many have marveled about Ken's incredible durability and the fact that no bullet, bomb, or other mechanism of destruction can destroy him, even when his life bar fades to zero. This fact only rings true on the emulated version of the game, which leads me to believe that very few people actually own the game itself. Such a shame that they are missing out on the fun and challenge of it all. Highs, a very challenging game, non-stop action, reminiscent of the Ceres. I believe he meant series, and Lowe's nasty sights and mediocre sounds. Overall, Thundergroin gave it a 10, even though several instances in the review, he goes on to say that this game is not perfect. Here's my take on Fist of the North Star. I really like the series. I like most of the movies. I have not read it because there's a lot to read, like near Akira level reading from what I recall, and there's a lot of Akira to read, But I like the series a lot. I like the movies, most of the movies, as I say. Where is our news? Okay. The game, not great. It's not great. It's playable. It's fine. I've played worse games. I've played much better games. I've played worse games on better systems. I've played better games on worse systems. It's a pretty standard little thing. I don't think it's terrible. Trojan was a game I let's played that Capcom made. An arcade game that I think that was ported over to the NES. I think this plays better than Trojan. Trojan was pretty rough. But then, you know, it's no G.I. Joe by Taxan, and it's no Mega Man or Contra or anything like that. But you're also probably not going into a Fist of the North Star video game in 1980, whatever, expecting it to be Mega Man 2. And if you are, I mean, it's really, you only get yourself to blame in that situation, I think. So graphics, I would give a 5. Music, I'd give a 5. Sound effects, a 5. Gameplay's a little rough. Probably give it a 4. Story, 4. I'd probably set it at about a solid 5. It's not amazing. You're not missing out anything if you don't play it. But if you're a fan of the series, maybe give it a try. It's the only Fist of the North Star game I have played that wasn't an odd beat-em-up, as I don't have any consoles new enough to play like Ken's Rage, which I probably would enjoy. I don't know. It looks a little like God Hand. I had a hard time getting into God Hand. Anyway, moving on. Now that we've got these new segments, I don't know where we're at. Let's see. We're going to watch this. That's what's next. Not the news, but watch this. The movie that I think we all need to take some time and watch this week is going to be To Kill a Mockingbird. Original, old, thankfully they'll never remake it ever. I hope. Starring... I can never remember the name of the guy who played Boo Radley. I can see him. Fonda. No, not Peter Fonda. The other guy. God damn it. God damn it. It'll come to me later. But Gregory Peck. Gregory Peck is in it. The big star for the thing. It's the guy from The Apostle. Can I never remember his name? Fonda, because Fonda was 12 Angry Men, and Once Upon a Time in the West, as he did. Oh, well, it ain't important. Anyway, it's a fantastic movie, very much worth the watch. I just had it. It was there, and then it left. It popped into my mind. It's like, here, dummy, here's the name. And I said, oh, yeah, that's it. And then I went to say it, and the name's like, ha, screw you, buddy. And it was gone. It's fine. Kill a Mockingbird. Go watch it. You'll enjoy it. Now that that's out of the way, let's read some news. This is kind of old news because we've gone back. We haven't done any news on the show for a while. So this is from December 22nd, kind of their wrap up for the year. So I don't think we're going to have too much to worry that we missed out on. Starting with, oops, pardon me. Matt Hightower of Overland Park, Kansas, was home alone with his three kids in mid-December 2020 when he switched on the oven in preparation for making dinner. Unfortunately, inside the oven were the family's three elves on the shelf, who had been put there the night before to warm up after a day of being held captive in the refrigerator by the bad milk, KCTV reported. Quote, "Babe, I cooked the elves," Hightower confessed to his wife, Chelsea, who was out Christmas shopping. Thankfully, said Chelsea, after a frantic search around town, jingle, bell, and magic have made a miraculous recovery and are back to their silly ways. God, that is the dumbest thing. Number one, it's dumb. Right. One is dumb. Three is three times as dumb. Number two, a frantic search. Lord help us. From 2008, the Christmas nativity scene in northeast Spain's Catalonia region have, for three centuries, featured not only Mary and the three wise men, but the ubiquitous Caganer icon. Caganer? Always portrayed with pants down, answering a call of nature, and often so obscured in the scene as to popularize Where's Waldo type guessing by children. The origin of the Caganer, or literally pooper, is unclear, but some regard it merely as symbolic of equality in that everyone has bowel movements. Catalonia is now home to artists who craft statuettes of religious figures poised to relieve themselves, and the franchise extends to renditions of sports figures and celebrities, and even a squatting President Bush. One family in Genora province sells about $25,000 a year, according to a November dispatch in Germany's Der Spiegel. Der Spiegel. Yes, indeed. There was something in there I thought to mention. Oh, bowel movements. Bowel movements, that's what it was. It's like the Olympics. It's a movement, and we all need one every day. Weird Christmas tradition. Since 1966, the city of Gävle, Sweden, has erected a huge straw goat in its downtown square at Christmas time. The goats are pagan symbols that preceded Santa Claus as a bringer of gifts, the Associated Press reported. But in what has become an adjunct to the town's tradition, the goats have been torched dozens of times during the past 55 years, including on December 17th, 2021. Police arrested a suspect in his 40s who had soot on his hands and matched a description from witnesses. Caught him soot-handed for burning the traditional Christmas goat. Thank goodness it wasn't French. Yeah. The French. They have their own kind of... Well, look up Jesus Shaves on your YouTube machine, and you'll see what I mean. The way the world works, ladies and gentlemen, those large inflatable Christmas decorations may fill the hearts of children with holiday cheer. I don't believe they do. But one young Ursid saw a sparring partner and went on the attack in Monrovia, California on December 8th, 2021. Donna Hargett captured a video of a bear cub wrestling with her neighbor's inflatable reindeer as the mama bear looked on, UPI reported. I looked up and there it was, jumping on the reindeer, Hargett said. We see these two around all the time. They're trouble, she said. In fact, Hargett said they once broke into her home and left paw prints on the bed. No word on Rudolph's condition. Paw prints on the bed. Those bears. Those scamps. Story of yikes. Rob and Marcella Wild of Robertson, South Africa, figured they might be a mouse, or there might be a mouse. I don't think they were a mouse. In their newly decorated Christmas tree, when their cats started watching it intently on December 10th, 2021, instead they found one of the most venomous snakes in Africa, a boomslang. CNN reported. The Wilds called on snake catcher Jerry Haynes, who used, quote, snake tongs to put it on the floor. Quote, once I had it under control, the family came right up to see the snake, Haynes said. A scary moment turned into an exciting moment for the children. Haynes released the female snake, about 4.5 feet long, back into the wild a couple of days later. All right, so what's more fun? What's more fun and exciting for the children? The blow-up reindeer getting eaten by a bear or the traditional Christmas boom slang? Hard to say. Christmas Madness from 2006. I don't know if you've noticed. These stories are all Christmas-related. In November, the upscale New York City menswear and accessory store Jack Spade removed from its holiday catalog a $40 frog dissection kit with a real carcass. After numerous queries from people wondering what in the world the store was thinking. Well, I'll tell you what they were thinking. They were thinking, we got a killer deal on a whole shipping container full of these. Let's try and make our money back. If we do this right, we'll only have to sell maybe 50 of them before we start turning a profit. A holiday party for inmates at Britain's Peterborough Jail promised a fun time with Xbox consoles and PlayStations, along with cash gifts of £5 each. It's about $9, which is greater than the value of the candy boxes the jail will give its guards for Christmas. Needs a subscription to the Jelly of the Month Club. That's what he needs. Police in Rock Hill, South Carolina, put a 12-year-old boy under arrest at the insistence of his mother after he had defied her and opened his Christmas gift 3 weeks early. Why did you put it out 3 weeks early, lady? You know your kid's trouble. Clearly. You've thought this through enough to have your kid arrested. What was he charged with? Breaking and entering? Precocious Justin and Nisa Lynn Parson of McKinney, Texas, were all in when their son Caden, 12, asked for a magnifying glass for Christmas. We thought, oh, he wants to magnify something, to read, Nisa Lynn told KDFW. Instead, Caden and his brother Ashton used the glass to light a newspaper on fire on the family's front porch, which soon spread to the yard, eventually destroying the lawn and some of the family's Christmas lights. We ran inside and started screaming, Caden said. The family doused the fire with, quote, pitchers of water, blankets smothering it, sprinklers turned on, hose turned on, Nisa then recounted, adding that now Caden, quote, will definitely have yard work to do once spring comes. Maybe also try and figure out why your 12-year-old is an arsonist. Sour grapes, ladies and gentlemen. Japanese YouTuber Marina Fujiwara has harnessed the pain she feels when she sees couples basking in their love at the holidays and developed a sort of Schadenfreudian device, a light that turns on whenever anyone breaks up on social media. Okay. Oddity Central reported on December 27, 2019, that Fujiwara's device is connected to the internet through a, quote, bridge, and is set to light up whenever a breakup status is posted on Twitter. Quote, I want to celebrate Christmas, she said, but when you see a couple in the world going on a Christmas date and doing something like that, I'm attacked by a huge sense of loneliness. While her machine is not available commercially, Fujiwara says it's easy enough to set one up for yourself. You know, it's even easier. Get off Twitter. Police report when 5-year-old Tylan Pittman of Byram, Mississippi, saw the Grinch stealing Christmas on December 16, 2017 on TV, he did what any civic-minded citizen would do. He called 911. Tylan told Byram police officer Lauren DeVille, who answered the call, that he did not want the Grinch to come steal his Christmas, reported the Clarion Ledger. DeVille made Tylan an honorary junior officer and had him come down to the station on December 18th to help her lock away the Grinch, who hung his head as Tylan asked him, why are you stealing Christmas? Although the Green Fiend apologized, Tylan wouldn't release him from the holding cell. Police Chief Luke Thompson told Tylan to come back when he's 21, and I'm going to give you a job application, okay? That's a terrible gift for a kid. We're going to give you the opportunity to get turned down for a job as a cop. I have a message, ladies and gentlemen. Sarah Childs won a restraining order in Denham Springs, Louisiana in December 2012, forbidding the town from shutting down her Christmas lights decoration. The large outdoor display in a neighborhood with traditional Christmas displays was the image of two hands with middle fingers extended. The traditional Christmas double deuce, if you will. The Aristocrats from 2007, folks, our final story. New York City has more than 400 soup kitchens, but nothing else like the Broadway Presbyterian churches, where Master Chef Michael Ennis presides 3 days a week, turning leftover restaurant ingredients into gourmet meals. In fact, one pre-Christmas meal included octopus, as well as day-old bread from Le Bernardin restaurant. Haynes told London's Independent that he is motivated by the chance to help troubled people get, quote, real nutrition, but that he also likes serving famous homeless people, such as diners who claim to be, among others, George Bush, George Washington, and Jesus Christ. Well, don't give Jesus any bacon, and keep an eye out on George Bush. He might be out doing his business behind the old manger there. Gentlemen, it's time for the new segment of the show, our weekly Z-Bon. If you don't know what we're doing, we're going to, like I recommended a movie for you earlier, I'm going to recommend a Warren Z-Bon song for you earlier, or right now I'm going to do it even, not earlier. That would be hard to do. Basically, we're just going to go through Warren's catalog of songs, not all of them, because he has probably enough that I could do a song a week for like 5 years of this show, and we're just going to start at the beginning of his career and kind of hop, skip, and jump our way through all of it till we get to the end. He's one of my favorite singers and songwriters, and I think that he's vastly underappreciated if you're not... I don't want to say, like, he's a musician's musician kind of a thing, but if you like the L.A. sound of the 70s and 80s, Jackson Browne, the Eagles, things like that, he was a big person in that time frame and in that scene. Recorded with Jackson Browne. Jackson Browne produced, I think, his very first album. At least the first one, maybe the first two. I don't remember for sure. He's had Bob Dylan backing him up on tracks, Michael Stipe, Rogers from Pink Floyd. Hindu Love Gods was a project he did. It was him and everybody from REM but Michael Stipe. Just phenomenal songwriter, phenomenal musician, incredibly talented individual, and I think more people should know who he is. So this is my little way to talk about him a little bit without getting like full on documentary style. So the song I would like you to track down, because I can't play it here on the show, is going to be Wanted Dead or Alive from his very first album, Wanted Dead or Alive. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is it for this edition of the show. We're going to see how well this works. I think looking at this and looking, there's a little light on the camera here that tells me when the audio is a little hot. I think it flickered once or twice, so may have some post-production work on the audio to do. I don't usually do a ton of that, but we'll see. Hope you enjoyed. If you're checking this out on Buy Me a Coffee and see the video thing, I hope you're enjoying that. Maybe it's a little more interesting. I don't know. I don't like to watch my podcasts, but I know there's a thing lately. People like watching podcasts for whatever reason. It's not my my cup of tea, I guess. Well, thank you all for watching. If you enjoyed it, please do consider leaving us a like and a review and a rating and wherever you're listening to this. They all do that kind of thing, I think. If you'd like to check out videos for games like Final Fantasy Tactics, Islets, FTL, Faster Than Light, Fist of the North Star, music, audiobooks, everything else that I do ever, you can visit jasonsgroovemachine.com and find it there. If you would like to support the show, help, you know, get this project finished up a little bit, or even just buy me a coffee, you can do that by going to buymeacoffee.com/electricleft. I don't think I've got anything else for us today, so I'm gonna get out of here. Figure out how the hell I'm gonna edit this whole thing, make it at least somewhat presentable, and we'll see how it goes. And I'll catch you guys next week. Take care.